Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents, 1913-1914, page 1122, slide. Visible translated text is as follows. Cincinnati, Ohio, received 4/26/13, ship at once. All of these 11 orders are in Mr. Frank's handwriting, and he entered them that day. That is the regular book that we keep those orders in. Defendant's Exhibit 12. I have looked at the original orders and compared them with Mr. Frank's entry in the book, and they are correct. I have here the original orders from which Mr. Frank made his entries, with the exception of one, which I can't find. They were in Mr. Dorsey's possession for some time. These are the 11 original orders. Defendant's Exhibits 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. After Frank entered the orders in the order book, he transcribed them to these requisition sheets. In other words, in each order that he receives, he enters the order in the book, then makes out one of these requisition sheets, and then makes the acknowledgement of the order to the party ordering the goods. All of these 11 requisition sheets, defendants' exhibits 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, are in Mr. Frank's handwriting and are OKD by me when I check it, which means that we ship the goods. All of the goods called for by these orders have been shipped out by me after being OKD by me for truth and veracity. It is bad. I would not believe him on oath. The paper that those notes found by the body were written on can be found all over the plant. They get swept to the basement in the trash. I heard the telephone conversation between Mr. Frank and Mr. Ursenbach about the ball game. I heard Mr. Frank say, "Yes, Charles, I will go if I can." Sitting at Mr. Frank's desk in the inner office, you can see about half of the dial of clock number 2. You cannot see the steps leading down to the first floor. If the safe door is open in the center office, you can't see anything at all. It would have to be a pretty tall man to see over it. It would be impossible for a girl of Montine Stever's height to see over it. The safe door is always wide open while we are in the factory. I went through the safe Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I didn't find any mesh bag or pocketbook. I was with Mr. Frank constantly while he was at the factory on the Tuesday morning after the murder. He did not speak to the Negro on Monday that day. Monday we tried to open up the factory, but everybody was so excited that we couldn't, with the exception of the order of R.E. Kendall and Company, 7,197, Defendant's Exhibit 24, which was canceled by letter. None of these orders were at the pencil factory when I left there Friday night, and they were there when I got back on Monday. The work of looking over the orders and entering them in the order book and making out the requisition has nothing to do with making out the financial sheet. It is entirely independent of it. The financial sheet shows the factory's operation from Friday morning through Thursday night. These orders go into the next week's business. I saw Mr. Frank on Sunday after the murder. There was no scratch, mark, or bruise on him. Mr. Frank is a man of extreme temperament. If anything went wrong about the factory, he would go all to pieces and get nervous. It was not unusual for Mr. Frank to get nervous. When a young child was run over by a streetcar, he came back as pale as death, and I had to give him a dose of ammonia. He was no good for the rest of the day. I know Jim Conley's.